modeling of yarn strength distribution. And actually, this is more of a methodological or method thing than cotton quality related. But this modeling approach of using quantiles is something that I've been playing with, specifically with yarn strength data, but it also applies to other types of distribution data. Just a quick run through some facts, again, some background facts. Yarn tensile properties, including strength, are typically measured using dynamometric methods. And we have a battery of parameters and properties that are provided with these methods. We have mean values of the strength of the elongation. We have also usually some measure of variability. And we also have, in most cases, an estimate of the number of weak places. But depending on the method, those weak places are usually based on arbitrary thresholds. We all know that strength distribution or any kind of distribution can differ in many ways. We see here an example where two distributions have different means but the same variance. Two distributions with the same mean, equal means, and different variances. Here we have a difference in both the means and variances, and here we have an even higher difference in variance and mean. Usually the methods used to compare populations of yarn, we're going to keep the focus on yarn here, but again, this applies to any other measure. Usually the good practice is to compare variances, and then once we determine the difference or not of variances, to compare the means, and methods to compare the means include the analysis of variance and so on. And there are other approaches with use of correlation or regression in order to test differences in strength distributions. I'm going to take the example of compact yarn or compact spinning, and we all know what compact spinning is about. But so I'm just going to go quickly over that. We compared, for example, here the means of yarns or yarn elongation and tenacity obtained from conventional and compact spinning. We typically see an increase in both parameters with compact spinning. We can run also or compare between the two parameters using regression, as you see here. And typically, we're happy with this kind of comparison. We see that compact yarn is stronger, or in this case, has a higher elongation than conventional yarn. It is stronger than conventional yarn. And we may also go as far as compare the cottons one by one and looking at confidence intervals. And the conclusions that we will draw from these results is that we have improved yarn tensile properties with compact yarn, which has the potential of enhancing the performance in downstream processing. And typically, we're happy with that. The problem is this kind of result is good when we have this kind of distribution, this difference in distribution. It's not as good when we have this configuration here, because we're talking about strength and performance in downstream processing. So what we're interested in is not the difference in means or the significance of the differences in means as much as this little difference over the tail or the lower tail of the distribution. This is what constitutes the weak places. This is what constitutes the segments of the yarn that are going to break during processing. So using those typical statistics is not sufficient to look at those at the distribution tail by itself. So I use this empirical quantile method to compare the distribution. I'm going to just tell you about the quantile function of one distribution. We know that distributions can be characterized by different functions, including the commutative distribution function, the probability density function, and there's one specific function that is very useful, and that's called the quantile function. And this representation of the distribution that is much less frequently used than the other two here. And basically, it is the inverse or the reciprocal function of the commutative distribution function. It is the function that gives us the probability or the value of our variable for a given probability. Okay, and there are ways to use these quantile function to compare distribution. Among those ways, we have the empirical quantile plots, which in which we plot the quantiles of one population versus the other. There's the quantile difference plot, or quantile distance plot, in which we plot the difference in quantiles of one between the two population against the quantiles of one population. And then there's an analogous method which used the ratio of the quantiles instead of the difference. Let's take the example of those two populations, those two distributions, and plotting the quantile-quantile plot, or looking at the quantile-quantile plot, we see the quantiles of the second distribution across the whole range shifting towards higher value. And that represents the shift in the distribution without change in its shape or without change in its dispersion. And when looking at the quantile difference plot corresponding to the same two populations, we see the same shift with a constant increase of the difference, or a constant difference basically over the range of the distribution. Now let's take the example we're interested in, the example where this tail is problematic. If we look at the quantile-quantile plot, we see that the difference between the two distributions is not the same whether we look at the strongest segments or whether we look at the weakest segments in the populations. Looking at the quantile difference plot, we actually see that this distribution, which seems stronger when looking at the whole parameter or when looking at the summary parameter, is actually weaker when we look at the weakest tail of the distribution, which is problematic, because this is where the performance of the yarn in further processing is going to be determined. This is the part of the distribution that determines the performance. Therefore, the slope actually of the quantile difference plot is what may be more representative of the difference between the two distribution, of the difference in performance, in actual performance between the two distribution. Now let's go back to our example, the compact and conventional yarn, and we're going to take those same samples and look at the distributions that we measure. And by looking at those individually, we found three main patterns with different slopes in the quantile difference slope. For example, here this is a pattern where we have a negative slope, which means that we had a higher improvement of yarn strength over the low strength segment. So basically, this is a very desirable pattern, because what we do is improve the lowest or the weakest segments, and that's what you would want from a process that improves performance, is improve the weakest points. Now we had another pattern, which you remember from the previous example. Here we have a constant improvement over the whole range of the distribution, and this is still basically a good pattern, because we still improve the weakest points, we still improve the weakest segments. So it's an acceptable pattern. This corresponds to a slope of zero in the quantile difference plot. Now, this is a problematic pattern. This is a pattern that we saw for many of the cottons that we tested. And here, we basically see that the improvement in the average yarn strength is due to an improvement of the strongest segments, while the weakest segments actually remain weak, even with compact spinning. The weakest segments, you know, and even in some cases, we have weaker, if I may, weaker weak segments in compact spinning. So here we have no improvement in the low strength segments, and we shouldn't expect any improvement of the performance of that yarn, because again, those are the segments that are going to break during weaving, that are going to break during knitting. And if we don't improve this part of the distribution, there's no improvement in processing performance. So this positive slope is basically non-desirable, because on one part, looking at the average value and looking at the summary statistics, we may conclude that for those samples, to compact spinning was advantageous. But looking at this pattern, as it's a fact, there's no improvement in the processing performance. Now, we calculated this slope, or we derived this slope for a wide range of cottons. We derived this slope for, in this case, about 40 cottons, and we examined what makes the difference. What makes the difference between a positive slope or a negative slope? What are the fiber properties that determine this slope? And we found a weak relationship, but nonetheless highly significant, with fiber fineness. It appears that basically finer fibers have or tend to have negative slopes, while coarser cottons tend to have positive slopes, which means that coarser cottons show the undesirable pattern that we were talking about. Now, as in any statistic, there's a significance issue, and the significance of this slope will depend on the number of observations, as in any statistics. And you can see the relationship between the significant level at a probability of 0.05 and the number of observation. And in our case, we run 1,000 single break in each for each cotton. So basically, going back to this plot, all these cottons, all this fiber, show significantly positive slopes, which means that for these samples, the potential for increasing or for improving the strength of the weakest segments is very low. Now, I'm going to conclude with this. Again, this is just a first application of this approach, but we'll continue to work on it. Basically, the pattern of strength improvement will depend on fiber fineness. There are probably other fiber properties that intervene in determining the slope of the quantile difference plot. But the one we saw here is fiber fineness. When we have increased average strength with limited to no improvement in performance for coarser cotton, while for finer cotton we tend to have an increase in performance related to the improvement of the weakest spots or the weakest segments of the yarn. If you want to know more about this method, there are a few references here, and there's a reference about compact spinning that we published about 2 years ago. Again, I also applied this approach to strength distribution of yarn and how it is affected by different other factors. Here with seed coat fragments, and you can find this reference too. Again, as most of our project, this research is supported by the Texas Department of Agriculture. I would like to acknowledge their support, and thank you for your attention. I'll take any questions. Yes.
it's not true that all valves are more used for strength distribution, because it's typical for identification of distribution curve compared to wave valve or simply one. Classically one by one. But I will be going back to your presentation. The main problem is one valves are not independent. One valves are dependent. Therefore, in fact, according to regression, it's illustrating some special kind of weighting. Because one valves are mutually dependent.
Yes.
That's one point. And second, the one valve plot is necessary to add something as a confidence interval from the whole plot, because some local variability could be due to some randomness. Therefore, in fact, it's necessary to add to these plots something as a confidence interval based on the bootstrap or something like this. Because these features are interesting, but when we'll be comparing it with statistical significance according to confidence interval,
yes, but actually this is why we need to create some confidence interval
because could be covered everything inside confidence interval or could be some untying point.
Yes.
So point of untying points, you need to remove this point before starting regression.
Yes, that's possible. But, Let me remind you, this is not a regression analysis to estimate the slope or to estimate anything with this plot. The actual slope can be derived from the features of the distribution, from the parameters of the distribution. So we don't have to apply regression, linear regression to do it. We can mathematically calculate the slopes based on the standard deviation and on the mean.
But the assumption should be normalized. In the case when there will be no normal distribution for each distribution, is solve another.
Yes.
It's only standardization.
Yes, that's the beauty of quantile modeling, is that it doesn't necessarily assume normality.
For computational quantile, yes. Because it should be some standardization.
No, these are empirical quantiles that are not assuming any distribution. Any.
When we will be comparing, when we will be using it for calculation of slope,
mm-hmm.
you need to have some assumptions.
Yeah, you need to have some assumption, but you have, for any distribution, well, for the normal distribution, you have the standard deviation and the mean, but for any distribution, you have a shape parameter and a scale parameter that can be substituted to that.
It should be standardization, because x minus divided by standardization is true. But when we not this kind of distribution, it's not possible to compare. Because standardization is standardized one tau and unstandardized one tau. That's true for solving, but generally not.
Okay. Yes. We'll talk about it later, but not sure.
Slope is actually a comparison of two cottons, or two yarns.
Two yarns, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about it as being a quantity. It's really the difference between two. So if you have an unknown and you want to characterize it, you have to compare it to something. So my question would be, what do you compare it to?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's a question that I haven't found an answer to yet. Those are approaches that are used to compare two distributions, and that's empirical. And that's why I don't completely agree with Dr. Militky, because when you have to compare this to a standard distribution or to a theoretical distribution, then you have to standardize. But here we're talking about two empirical populations, and that's the whole point behind the empirical quantile plot. It's different from the quantile plot that is related to a normal distribution or to a theoretical distribution of any kind.
But in the case when both distributions will be the same, you can calculate everything. There will be some difference in the distribution. It's not so difficult to calculate theoretically the slope.
Yeah.
In the case of the same distribution,
why? Yeah, for theoretical calculation, you need to have a theoretical assumption for the distributions to be the same family, of the same family, that's true.
Second question, did you settle on any particular quantile? And being a discriminator point?
No, not yet.
In this distribution, for instance, would you look at the lower quartile?
No, not yet. No, I haven't looked into that yet. So, I haven't targeted one quantile to be.
So you don't know whether we're talking about the lower 5% or the lowest 30%?
No. All right, thank you. I'm gonna